Tonight's learning is sponsored by Jerry Goldfisher in memory of his mother, Devorah Bas Chaim Yaakov, Zechrona Levracha, by Sandra Lehrer in memory of her brother, Aryeh Leib ben Harav Yehoshua, Zechrona Levracha, and by Ivy and Joseph Podolsky in memory of Ivy's father, Tovia ben Yitzchak, Zechrona Levracha. I got a really interesting shayla right before Rosh Hashanah. Baruch Hashem, there was a couple who had a baby right before Rosh Hashanah. It was a bit of an unexpected, it was a bit premature. The birth was before the due date. So our learning should also be B'schoser Refu Shalema for Tinok ben Avital Tziona and for Avital Tziona Bas Dalia Chava. But they went into, again, this premature labor, and the baby was born right before Yontif. So we were talking about all the halachos that pertain to spending Rosh Hashanah in the hospital. I think Mincha was, 6:35? I think my last call was 6:33. At 6:33, I was talking to this new father and trying to walk him through all the various halachos that apply. But after Yontif, we were recapping, and what ended up happening was as follows. They had arranged in advance that somebody was supposed to come and blow shofar for them in the hospital. Unfortunately, on the first day, the person just didn't show up. Either they made a mistake, or just there was some logistical miscommunication. Whatever happened, the person did not show up. So the question in retrospect was, could I have left the hospital in order to have gone here to Kia shofar somewhere else? Now, the Shaila is based on the premise that, ordinarily speaking, in order to leave a hospital, certainly in order to leave a maternity ward or a NICU in a hospital, you usually have to do some Isur on Yontif, whether it be Malacha del Reisa or something Derabanan. You usually have to press a button or activate some kind of electronic door in order to leave the hospital. And the question was, would I be allowed to do so in order to hear Tekiah Shofar? So the young man who was asking the question, who's a young Talmud Chacham, assumed that he could not do so on the basis of Gemara that says that you're not allowed to violate a losa asay on Shabbos and Yontif in order to perform a mitzvah asay. This is a Gemara that appears in several places. It's actually in the original context of Srefas Nosar. There are certain circumstances where you have to burn karbanos. Let's say you have a karban, you're supposed to eat it within a particular time frame. Most karbanos are supposed to be eaten within a single day. A shlamim is supposed to be eaten within 2 days. Let's say whatever karban you're dealing with, the time elapses, it expires. In that scenario, the Torah gives you a mitzvah to actually burn the leftover meat that was supposed to be consumed and was left inappropriately for the duration of that time span. So the halacha says you're supposed to engage in Srefas Nosar. Now, can you do it on Shabbos and Yontif? Ordinarily speaking, you can't burn things on Shabbos and Yontif, at least on Shabbos, let's say. There's an Isur Havara, there's an Isur of burning things. So are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? The Gemara says, even though ordinarily we have a principle of asay docha losa asay, that you're performing a mitzvah asay, and there is a losa asay, there's a prohibition that's an impediment to the performance of that asay, you are allowed to actually override the losa asay in order to fulfill your mitzvah asay. You cannot do so on Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos is both a mitzvah asay and a losa asay. The Torah says, losa asay kol malacha, don't violate Shabbos, but sometimes we forget that Shabbos is not just a list of don'ts. The broader spirit of those don'ts is to maintain a certain character of Shabbos. There's the mitzvah asay of Shabbos as well, and the asay cannot overcome both the losa asay and the asay. There's a major machlokas among the achronim. So let's say you did the asay anyway, would you receive malchus? A very fundamental machlokas among the achronim. But in any event, you certainly can't do it. So he thought to himself, I wouldn't be able to leave the hospital because You can't violate a losa asay on Shabbos and Yontif in order to perform an asay. So I think his analysis was correct, but the truth is he didn't even need to come on to that analysis, because the truth is it would have been usher even absent that analysis. The whole principle of asay docha losa asay is when you have both of them occurring, what we call be'idne, at the same time. When you're performing the mitzvah asay and the losa asay at precisely the same moment. Go back to our example of Srefas Nosar. You're not allowed to burn something on Shabbos. The burning is the fulfillment of the asay and the violation of the losa asay that are occurring at the very same moment. In this instance, the losa asay would have been in order to facilitate a subsequent tekiah shofar. They wouldn't have been happening at the same time. So that certainly would have been usur. And frankly, we actually all know this halacha from a very common halacha that didn't come up this year but comes up many years. The fact that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. What's the whole reason? Gzeira d'rabba is because Shema ya'avi renu dalet amos parshas harabim, because perhaps somebody might come to take their shofar and carry it for amos in the public sphere, which would be a violation of otzah. Why don't we say asay docha losa asay? So in that scenario, you wouldn't say asay docha losa asay because you don't have them at the same moment. You don't have them pe'idne. So it would appear that it would be usur to violate an Isur, even an Isur d'Rabbanan, in order to facilitate your mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar. Now, is there any way he possibly could have gotten out of the hospital in order to hear Tekiah Shofar? So there potentially is one, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll discuss that tomorrow night. Rabbi